Today we are continuing our studies on the book of James. Let me thank God, and I crave the indulgence of the moderator to, within the period of my teaching, share my testimony yesterday of what happened yesterday. I traveled on Tuesday morning to Ogbomosho by having issues with the tire in my official car. Now I had the intention that when I get to Ogbomosho, I'll fix it. Because I have one big company there that handles vehicles with gadgets like they have abroad. So I've been so much interested in using them. So when I got to Ogbomosho about 5 o'clock on Tuesday, I went straight to the company to get the car fixed. And they worked on the car quite all right. Everything was fine. And now it was time to set the alignment.
It's working.
The equipment they use in the company is such that when it is time to set alignment, they have to suspend the car up in the air to have access to be able to ensure that the alignment is in the right perspective as it used to be right from when it was bought or manufactured. And so they pressed the button and the thing lifted the car up to the level of the ceiling and suspended the car there, and they worked on it. And when they were done, they pressed the same button to bring the car down. The car refused to come down. The thing got stuck up there. It took them more than 2 hours. Call other engineer from other places to come and help to bring the car down. I was saying, ah, God, don't allow the car to rupture today. If the car ruptures now, that means I will not be able to come back to Abraham. So I was doing fasting and prayer while I was waiting for the car to come down. He got to a time, they said, okay, Oga, you have to go home. We will continue the work tomorrow morning to bring the car down. I said, I lie. I have to leave tomorrow back to Abraham. Immediately, I'm done with my defense. I'll be on my way. So what time do I have to come back here? So when they saw my facial expression, they decided to say, okay, we'll see what we can do. They battle and battle until they finally brought the car down. But that's not the testimony. They brought the car down, and then they said they are done now. I paid them, and I entered the car, drove to my place where I'm lodging. That night, got there at about 9:30 in the night. I couldn't even clean the car. I said, let me go and look at my work to get myself ready for my dissertation defense. So the following morning, before 5:30, I was already on my way to the seminary. I got there. They called me in. The dissertation, the defense I thought would take me about, supposed to take me about two to two and a half hour. I spent less than 25 minutes and they say, congratulations, you can go. And so I stepped out and we entered the vehicle without wasting time. I didn't even remember to on my phone. I just jumped into the car and started coming. I drove up to Ife and I started noticing noise in the car again. I said, ah, what's the problem? What's wrong with this car? I came down, checked around, I didn't see anything. I entered again, I continued. I fired down. The noise was becoming more and more tense. The car was rumbling. And the place I was in the middle, in the heart of one thick forest. See, these are the area these Fulani herdsmen used to stay. A lot of apprehension here and there. But what was the story? I managed the car, continued in spite of the wobbling until I got to Ondo. When I got to Ondo, I stopped and I came down. I said, okay, let me even try and use the wheel spanner to check whether the wheels were tied. That was when I discovered that all the four legs, they never tied anyone. So I was driving 120, 130 without wheels that were tightened. It was as if the moment they brought the car, they finally brought the car down, they did not remember to tighten them again. For those of us who are drivers, you know the implication when the tire pulls off at such a high speed. But the Lord was faithful. Scripture says, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God sustained and brought me home. And I want to thank all of you for your prayers. There is God in our Savior's chapel. And that God will continue to be our God in the name of Jesus Christ. Moderator, I hope you didn't count that time, so my time starts now. All right, thank you very much. We give all the glory to God. At the close of the service, I will invite the chairman of council to pray a special prayer of thanksgiving for us. How be it that the car flew into the bush and something else happened? Possibly there will have been a mourning mood right now. But God was faithful. He stood by us and he saw us through. We're continuing our study on the book of James. Today we are looking at chapter 5, verse 12. Only one verse there. Can we all read it together since we are seeing it on the screen? I want everyone to rise. Let's read that verse 12 together. Verse 12 of James chapter 5. 1, 2, go. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Thank you, our Father, for the opportunity to look at your word tonight again. I pray that you will speak expressly and grant us insight to your word. The very reason for which you have ordained this teaching, let it be fulfilled in our lives. Do it and take the glory forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. Now, if you followed the trend of our study, last Wednesday, our sister was here to take us through the study. Dr. Okoro was supposed to lead us, but he had to travel, so the wife had to stand in. And in the course of that teaching that day, we look at an aspect of the book of James chapter 5. Who still remember the topic? Who can remind us? The topic that Mrs. Okoro taught us last Wednesday. Anybody? Anybody? Hey! Huh? Patience. That's 3/10. Who can complete it now? He has given us a clue. No, now the Bible says we should study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Patience in I'm not hearing you. In suffering. Thank you. God bless your mouth. Now you are coming up. That was the topic. So, if you look at the text that our sister read, and thank you, media. Media has given us expo. The text she read, James chapter 5, verse 7 to 11, was talking about suffering. And then James, in his characteristic of the letter of James, if you read very well, he doesn't follow a line of thought like Paul would do, following a series to the very end. James will be expounding on a subject and suddenly we jump up to another thing. The reason is, to him, he felt there are areas he need to touch as quickly as possible. So within the five chapters of his work, he wanted to ensure that he touched as many aspects as possible. And by the way, as at the time James wrote the letter, there was no chapter or verse. I hope you understand that. There was nothing like chapter 5. It was a comprehensive letter, a straight letter. It was those who did the canonization of the Bible that decided to put it by according to chapter and verses. But that's a matter for another day. So James, in verse 2, in verse 12 of chapter 5, jumped off the issue of patience in suffering and went straight into the subject of speech. Brothers and sisters, there is a scripture I dread. I fear that scripture. Each time I read it, my heart jumps in beats. And what is that scripture? Media, give us Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Chapter 12, verse 36. Thank you. Sit down. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Oh, yes. In the original King James Version, it says, but men will have to give account of every idle word they have spoken on the day of judgment. So when we are flippant with our mouth, say careless things, say things that shouldn't come from our mouth, my heart beats. I don't know how you feel about it. But the Bible is saying we will give account of every careless word. There are times I'm driving and this wonderful overzealous Okada man will just flop their motorcycle into it. Say, what did they do this man? Are you the craze? And then I would . Matthew 12, 36. Say, God, have mercy. But this should guide us as we discuss the subject of speech tonight. That's wrong. We are looking at the topic, avoiding exaggerated speech. Exaggerated. I try to look at the real pronunciation. Exaggerated. Mommy, am I correct? Oh yeah, help me pronounce it. What is the pronunciation? Exaggerated. I will go back to England. All right. Now, the point is, we are expected to avoid certain things that we say. And by that word exaggerated, let's look at the dictionary meaning that I got. And it says, it is making a statement that has been enlarged beyond what is true. But in the usage, in the form that I use it in that topic, it has to do with certain things we say, and we use God as a basis to defend what we are saying in order to prove our innocence or to prove that what we are saying is the true position of things. And we are challenged this evening to avoid such. The verse, James chapter 5 verse 12, is another of James' interruption of his flow of thought, like I have explained earlier. He delved off the issue of patience in suffering and now come into the issue of swearing. Swearing probably has nothing to do with patience in suffering, which is the preceding thought or the line of thought that James was following. James here wants his readers to remember the teachings of our Lord on swearing as recorded in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. Swearing is defined by Webster New World College Dictionary as making a solemn declaration with an appeal to God or something else sacred for confirmation. Swearing in the Old Testament time was an attempt to involve the character and the authority of God to support a claim. Give me Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. Thank you. And you shall not swear by my name. The Lord is speaking here. Nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Swear or swearing is something that God abhors. But oftentimes, this is what we see ourselves doing. One of my junior brothers, while we were growing up in my village, this young guy is a professional when it comes to picking meat from the pot. One day, we just came from farm. As we were entering, the guy was already in the room. He has gone to tamper with the pot again. And so as he was coming out from the room, my mother saw him and said, "Hey, come, you don't go carry me." He said, I go swear. I been swear. My man no touch, my hand no touch. I can swear my hand." And my mother held the hand and looked at the hand. Behold, soup was all over the hand. And yet he said he can swear. True to God, my hand no touch soup. My hand no touch meat. And yet the soup was in his hand. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what many of us do. In order to defend our innocence, we use the name of God. And this is what James is warning us against. Say, "God is my witness. God can bear me out." And in most cases, what we are using the name of God to defend ourselves for are not true. And James says there is judgment that is waiting for us if we continue that way. James' emphasis is different from taking oath of office, for instance, or giving evidence before a law court, particularly if the case involves the life or the death of another individual. James is not here saying that solemn oath, like God's oath to Abraham in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 13, or that of Peter before the Lord in Matthew chapter 26 verse 63 to 64, is the issue here. But Paul also called God as a witness while he was praying for the Roman church. Say, "God is my witness." The point I am making here is, you know, when someone is being inaugurated or installed, it has become a routine or a tradition to either give, whether the person goes to church or not, they will give Bible to him and ask him or her to swear. Even those who swear, they finish the swearing, they still go ahead to walk against what they swore to. Even though I don't believe in using the word swear, holding the Bible, to me, I affirm is even better than to say I swear. But that is a routine. So I'm not saying if you are Mommy Osakwe tomorrow becomes the governor of Delta State and they say, "Come and take oath of office," I will say, "No, don't go and take the oath because you are a Christian." You have to take the oath. But we are saying that when you take that oath, be faithful enough to abide by the terms and conditions of that oath. There was this comedian who jokingly said it. Say, "This time around, these people that are going to political office, that we should not give them Bible to swear. Let's go and carry iron, Ogun, and give him Ogun. Say, 'I swear by Ogun.' Say, 'This office I they go into, so if I thief money, make Ogun kill me.'" He said, "They're not going to swear." But because they take God for granted, they believe God is so latent, is so weak, there is nothing that will follow. Therefore, let's go ahead. Carry Bible. "I swear by Almighty God that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I will not thief. I will not do this." It's trending today. Our money that we have siphoned and stolen to UK, Buhari want to use it to go and repair Kano Road now. The money that will have been used to develop Delta. Buhari is my friend, but I'm not happy with him when it comes to this matter. It's not only him. The average politician in Nigeria today, all they are there for is money stealing and stealing, either direct or indirect. Official can make a solemn promise under oath, placing his or her hand on the Bible, for instance, that he will uphold and defend the law of the land. Possibly that would not have been necessary, but for the fact that many leaders have used their offices to lie and defraud others in the past. Not in the past, even in the present, and even in the future. Because today, the cliche in Nigeria is looters are looting looters. Those who have gone to collect the looting of Ibori today, at the end of the day, they will still loot the loot that has been looted. I pray God will deliver us from the spirit of looting. It has become endemic. It has become systemic. It's normal. Those who are fighting and killing themselves to go to chairmanship and councillorship position in the local government, what did they tell us? Prior to the election, they will say, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this. But the moment they step into the position, they say, it's zero allocation, no money. They don't see the money again. But they are dying to get there. So what are they looking for? We will give account to James. Is more concerned about the frivolous use of swearing, only to create an impression that the speaker is truthful. Like my junior brother who say, I not touch the meat, and there was soup in his hand. The casual manner with which people invoke the name of God, sacred object, is the issue at hand. When people tend to exaggerate, that's what mommy said I should say, or embellish a lie, they then try to confirm by their lies by saying, I swear by God, or I swear to Almighty God, or I swear by heaven, or even I swear by Bible. I'm not lying. James is saying that it is not necessary to swear at all in such instance. Scripture says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Why will you lie? If you lie to be exonerated by man, can you still lie and be exonerated by God? Someone has said somewhere, it is better to tell the truth to save a friend than to lie to defend him. It's better you tell the friend the truth and help him to pay the fine, rather than to defend him and defend his lie. Many even go to court to bear witness of what they didn't see, and yet they say it was like this, just to exonerate somebody. You can hide it from man, but you can't hide it from God. Remember, the day of judgment is come, when men will give account. That day, you can't bend the rule. You can't bribe the judge. You can't say, now from my community, it's my kinsman, it's an Urobo man, he will help me. Dog, not a chop dog. A lie. Dog will chop dog that day. Why don't you stand and say, yes, on this truth I stand, and be killed for it? I remember the story of that man in church history. His name is Polycarp. Polycarp, when persecution of the church was so tense, they came and they arrested Polycarp. He ran to hide somewhere when the persecution was tense, and they traced him to where he was hiding. And when they got there, they held Polycarp and said, Polycarp, your own don't finish. We are killing you today. You have one option to choose out of two. If you say Jesus is Lord, we will kill you. But if you say Caesar is king, we'll let you go. Polycarp brought the men into his house. He smiled and said, no problem. Let me give you guys some food to eat. He gave them food. They ate quite all right. When they finished eating, they said, now back to the matter. And according to the story, Polycarp went round in that sitting room. He came to the middle of where the men were seated with all their arms and dagger to kill him. And Polycarp said, 86 years have I served God. He has done me no wrong. Therefore, Jesus is king. If you will kill me, so be it. And true to it, they brought Polycarp out, stabbed Polycarp, and Polycarp died. They set fire, and then they dropped Polycarp inside the fire. According to the story, we're told that when Polycarp landed in the fire, the blood that was flowing from his side, where they pierced him, quenched the fire. But the bottom line of the story was, Polycarp, in spite of the fact that he saw death coming, he decided to stand for the truth that he believed is true, in spite of the consequences. We're told the story of some persons who were going to market in Onitsha. Armed robbers blocked their way. I ordered all of them to come down, and they all came down from the vehicle. And the armed robber told them, if you know you pay your tithe in church yesterday, that the day was a Monday, if you know you pay your tithe in church yesterday, come this side. And a good number of them came to this side. And he said, if you know you did not pay your tithe in church yesterday, come this way. Only one person stood on the side of those who didn't pay his tithe. All the rest ones ran to this way, hoping that armed robbers will say, okay, since you pay your tithe, we will let you go. The armed robber look at them and say, you people are lying. You did not pay your tithe. You are lying. Now we are going to kill all of you. He brought the gun, shoot the gun, boom, boom, boom. Most of those who ran here earlier said, that's true, I don't pay. So you see your life, and you say you are Christians. Truth, rather than exaggerate and tell lies to exonerate yourself, why don't you stand for the truth? Like I said earlier, you may hide it from man, but you can't hide it from God. We have an axiom in Urobo. Oro diva me. When you sink in the river, you will hardly know that your back is still up there. He knows the number of air on our head, whereas we who own the head, we don't know. So do you think you can hide anything from him? Scripture calls him the all-knowing God. Why don't you die for truth rather than live for a lie? That's the emphasis of the teaching today. Why would James revisit the teaching of our Lord? It will appear that the spread of the gospel to other cultures where frivolous swearing or oath-taking was common practice even among the new Christians must have attracted James' attention. Yes! According to Jewish tradition, swearing is an evidence to show that what you are saying is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So as a way of justifying oneself, you have to swear. Say, I swear by heaven. Because the typical Jewish man does not mention the name of God. God is too holy to be mentioned. But when they say, I swear by heaven, they are invariably referring to who? To God. In fact, the original Septuagint Bible, the name of God, Yahweh, is not spelled, is spelled without the vowel. They remove the R and remove the E to ensure that they reverence the name of God so well. So Yahweh, in the original Septuagint, you won't see A, you won't see E in the spelling. I'm taking you through theological studies now. You are going to pay me some extra salary for that. But the point is, because they want to reverence God, they want to respect God. And so, if anyone wants to justify himself for any position, what will he do? I swear by heaven. Or I swear by the mountain. Because mountain stands for the presence of God. And so, James was saying, it is good to show evidence that what you are saying is the truth. But do not do it in a frivolous manner, such that you will incur the judgment of God upon yourself. Because indeed, many have incurred the judgment of God upon themselves. He went further to say, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Even in the church, people tell lies with impunity. Nothing pricks their heart when they do. I ask you, did you pay your tithes last week? Say yes, sir. I paid my tithes. But by the time we investigate thoroughly, we discover that you did not actually pay your tithe. Because tithe is one tenth of every income that comes to you. How many persons are faithful in their tithe? How many? Who really give the one tenth of their income as unto God? They are very few. Not just in our Savior's Chapel, but in virtually several churches. And when you do, you tell the financial secretary, you tell those who record, this is my tithe, and they will record it as your tithe. But heaven is saying, you are lying. And those who lie in their giving to God, the Bible says they will walk under closed heaven. Read Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 down. You will see it. You will walk under closed heaven. You will toil. You will not see the result. Because you are a robber. That's what the word that is used in that text. You rob God. I pray that we will not rob God in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me run and finish up and give us room for contribution and question. At the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees developed many rules governing oath-taking. I've talked about this. But only those who invoked the name of the Lord were binding. The Lord saw through their hypocrisy and condemned the act by teaching that even the use of the temple or heaven or earth or the person's head are all part of God's creation. Therefore, by implication, they are already incurring the judgment of God upon themselves. There are possible reasons why the Lord taught against swearing, which James also emphasized. Of the many reasons, the first one is that so many people have sworn in the past and suffered terrible consequences. You still remember the story of Jephthah. As I'm going to this war, if I return victorious, whatever comes out of my house first to welcome me, I'll sacrifice that thing to God. Lo and behold, it was the one and only daughter that came out to receive him. And Jephthah had to sacrifice the daughter. God is not a cannibal. He's not interested in the sacrifice of human beings. But Jephthah used his mouth to bring curse upon himself, because he was frivolous, not giving thought to what he was saying before he went ahead. Secondly, Christians are supposed to follow the example, the example of non-believers who think they must invoke the name of their so-called sacred being in order to give credence to whatever statement they give. Christians should rather show the example of straightforward talk or speech and leave it at that. Chaplain, did you collect the money that was kept here? No, I did not collect. I end it there. I do not need the name of God to defend myself. If I do not collect and you impute it on me that I must have collected, it's between you and God. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. Thirdly, Christians should not cheapen the name of God in their speeches. I swear to God, God is my witness. I'm telling you the truth. God knows that I'm telling you this. Those are not necessary. Because in most cases, we do them to justify ourselves, to defend ourselves, to exonerate ourselves, to make people believe what we are saying. I don't think it's necessary. Once the name of the Lord is invoked among non-believers, his glorious name, they become still, weakened, and may not be held in esteem, especially if that is done insincerely. Especially when people come to find out later that even what you have said in the name of God turned out not to be the true position of things. You have ridiculed or brought the name of God to shame. What is required of us? Four things. Number one, avoid exaggerating in your speech. Number two, avoid half-truths. Number three, avoid lying altogether. Number four, be emphatic in your speech. Whether it is yes, let it be yes. If it is no, let it be no. Don't pretend. Don't tell lies to cover up certain actions in order to justify yourself. You may justify yourself before me by that your lie, but you can't justify yourself before God, because he knows you more than you know yourself. The power of the gospel of our Lord can help to set anyone free from unnecessary exaggeration in speech. Therefore, we need to invite the Lord into our lives to set us free from lack of integrity and honesty. Honesty pays. But you don't need to invoke the name of God to defend yourself, especially when you know that what you are saying is not true. It's my prayer tonight that the Lord will not allow our speech to become an object that will destroy our lives when the end of time comes. That what we say with our mouth will not take us to hell. That the warning in Matthew chapter 12 verse 36 will be fresh in our heart at all times, so that we will lead our lives in such a way that we glorify God. Remember, Ananias and Sapphira did not die because they sold the land. They did not die because they took part of the money away. They died because they told lies. Say, God is our witness. This is all we sold. If they had told Peter, okay, we sell the land, 2 million naira, but we won't pay school fees. The children will never pay their school fees. So we remove 500,000 to pay the school fees. Now 1.5 million I remain, I will bring. Do you think they will have died? No. So, okay, this is the whole money in order for them to be applauded. When you seek the applause of men, you lose the approval of God. Seek the commendation of God. The Lord will say to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He is upright and blameless. What a credential. What a CV. Can that be said about me? Can that be said about you? Moderator, over to you.